الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about today a very important topic, and that is the issue of friends. Why are friends important and how to choose them, what to do about them? There are two kinds of people in the world. There are the sheep and there are the shepherds. So the first thing that you need to do is to make a choice. Are you among the sheep or are you among the shepherds? If you are among the sheep, then I suggest you go to sleep, because I do not know the language of sheep, so whatever I say you won't understand anyway, so you can sleep. Then at the time of the Arabic khutbah will wake you up. But if you are among the shepherds or you want to be a shepherd, then please listen carefully. I want to say to you the following. And that is, being a leader means to take hard decisions. Being a leader means to take hard decisions and to like being alone. Being a leader means to take hard decisions and to like being alone. The tiger walks alone, sheep have plenty of company. The biggest reason and pull for friendship is the need for company, which in psychology we have various names. In psychology we call it affiliation need, we call it the need for approval, we call it the need for affirmation, need for confirmation, and so on. I agree that this is a natural need, it's a natural thing in the human being. Goes back to the time when we used to live in tribal societies, when without the tribe the man was nothing. If he lost the tribe, he was dead. So one of the worst punishments that could be given to a person was to banish him from the tribe, because effectively that means you were killing the person. But this need still remains, even though we no longer live in tribal societies. There's a very interesting thing about this need, and that is that it's a need which, like all needs, seeks to manipulate you and to make you conform to the acceptability norms of the group that you wish to belong to. So if you want to belong to a particular group and you have a need to belong to that group, then effectively you are manipulated to conform to the norms of that group. Effectively, the group is saying to you, if you want to be with us, be like us. If you want to be one of us, be like us. You can't be different and be in this group. No. If you want to belong to this group, you have to be like us. What does that mean? It means do what we do, like what we like, dislike what we dislike, approve of what we approve of, disapprove of what we disapprove of, and so on. Walk on our path to our destination. I want you to think about this very carefully. What is any group saying to you? If you say, I want to belong to this group, what are they saying? Walk with us on the path to our destination. But even in the tribal times, if you think back, and the best example is the example of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who wished to lead decided to take the hard decision. And what is the hard decision? To be different, to stand out, to differentiate. They refused to go with the flow, because only a dead fish goes with the flow. Live fish swim against the current. To be able to swim against the current, to be able to go against the flow, is actually a sign of life. If you are dead, you go with the current. So decide for yourself whether you want to be alive or you want to be dead. So I am saying to you that to give this some thought, and the thought is, anyone who is driven by a need, any need, anyone who is driven by a need is someone who is at the mercy of the one who can fulfill that need. If you have a need, you are at the mercy of the one who has the power to fulfill that need. If you are hungry, you are at the mercy of the one who can give you food. If you are thirsty, you are at the mercy of the one who has water to give you. If you are poor, you are at the mercy of the one who offers you money. If you want name and fame, you are at the mercy of the man who has the TV station or who has the newspaper and who is willing to put your video up on the TV or who is willing to publish your article in the paper and so on. I want you to think about this issue of dependency on need in the context of Tawheed. What is it that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah does for us? It cuts off our dependence on everyone and connects it with Allah. It takes away the need. Who is the one who fulfills the need for hunger? Allah. Who is the one who fulfills the need for life? Allah. Who is the one who fulfills the need for safety? Allah. Who is the one who fulfills the need for power and wealth and hukumat? قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Who gives the mulk? Who gives authority? Who gives the rule? Who makes you president? Who makes you prime minister? What does the world tell you? People. What does the Quran say? تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِيُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. We have the need to be respected, for izzat. Who gives izzat? تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُضِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah. What does Tawheed do? Tawheed frees you. Tawheed makes you free. Tawheed takes away the dependence from everyone and connects it to Allah. So I want to say to you, because we are talking about friends and friendships, that when you seek the company of people, it does not come free. It comes with a cost. It comes with boundary conditions. It comes with its own entry rules. It comes with its own conditions of inclusion. Some of these are formally stated. You can actually go, there is a book of bylaws, and the bylaws tell you what you have to do. And others are not formally stated, they are informal, like for example you have friends. But those rules, even though they are informal, they are equally strong and equally compelling. And what is the basic rule there? If you want to be with us, you have to be like us. Basic condition. So what's the implication? What is the implication of this? If you want to understand the implication, you must consider each set of entry rules and see what they are and what they mean. For example, there are some entry rules to belong to certain groups. There are some entry rules which demand that we deliberately do things which are against the laws of Islam. They demand that we pay large sums of money to support institutions that exist in order to propagate haram. Institutions that are built and exist for the sake of horse racing and gambling. Institutions that are built and exist for the sake of the sale of alcohol. Men's bar. At one point in time, there used to be a board saying women and dogs not allowed. I've actually seen those boards. Institutions that are set and where you have to spend large amounts of money to join them, which are for the sake of dancing and music. Institutions whose purpose is to propagate haram. And what is the boundary condition? Boundary condition is if you want to belong, then you have to spend large amounts of money in order to become one of us. And I'm not talking small money here. We are not even talking lakhs. We are talking crores. Try and get a membership of the Hyderabad Race Club and you know what I'm talking about. Try and get into the box. Box has a different meaning at the end of your life. And that's why I always maintain, truly it is difficult to get into Jahannam. Jannah is easy. Jannah is very easy. All it takes is one tawbah, khalas, everything is gone. Allah has converted everything into good deeds and you are gone into the Jannah on a rocket. But Jahannam takes a lot of time, energy, money, effort. You have to really pay for Jahannam, and that's the reason why Allah said on the day of judgment, La zulmal yawm. Allah said, there will be no zulm. If somebody goes into Jahannam, he will have his whole, all the bill of accounts will be given to him. Boss, you paid for it. Now here is it. So many crores over so many years. So much of money, time, energy. You paid for it, so surely you deserve it. I mean, you paid for it, so here it is. Ajeeb, eh? So on the day of judgment, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all those sheep who follow the herd, where do herds of sheep normally go to? Where are they normally taken to? Slaughterhouses. So those who follow the sheep, the herd of sheep to the slaughterhouses on the day of judgment, what will happen to them? Suddenly this self-induced blindness will go. In this world, there's self-induced blindness. Tell me, I'm asking a very simple question. Which of the Muslim members of the Hyderabad race club does not know that racing is and gambling is haram? Which of them does not know that racing and gambling is haram? So it's not a question of not knowing, yeah? It's a question of deliberately doing haram, deliberately spending money for haram, knowing it is haram. This is not rocket science. You don't have to be a mufti from Al-Azhar to know that gambling is haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So what will happen? That's why I call it self-induced blindness. You shut your eyes. You shut your eyes. Then nobody can know. You know, Shakespeare said, what did he say? He said, none so blind as those who will not see. There's someone who cannot see, but he says the one who will not see, deliberately self-induced blindness. I will shut my eyes. I'll put a band on my eyes. Now what can you do? Even though I have eyes, no good to me, I can't see because I have decided to shut them. None so blind as those who will not see. But what will happen on the day of judgment? Long before that, as a matter of fact, when Malakul Maut comes and says, Salaam Alaikum, that self-induced blindness will go away. Because the curtain will be removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that scene. When this blindness will go and when the eyes will open. Allah said, وَيَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَزُولًا. Allah said, on that day when the eyes are opened, they will say and remember the day when the zalim will bite his hands, literally in regret. SubhanAllah, the description of the Quran of human body language. You know, when something you lose, you say, you know, you put your finger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will bite their hands all the way up to the elbows. Regret. Ya laitani. Kaash kaisa nahi. I wish I had not done this. Aur kis baat pe wo nadamat ke uska izhar nadamat kis baat pe kar raha? What is he regretful about? He says, remember the day when the zalim will bite his hands and he says, oh, I wish I had taken the path with the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ah, woe. He says, curse himself. He says, woe. Would that I had never taken so and so fulan and khalila. I wish I had not taken such and such as a friend of mine. They will name the people. Which I wish I didn't have this man as a friend. I wish I did not have this woman as a friend. See what they did. Truly, they indeed led me astray from the Quran after it had come to me. And shaitan is ever the deserter to man in the hour of need. Ajeeb, eh? See the bayan of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will take the name of the friend and he will say, I wish I had not listened to that person. I wish I had not listened to that person.
Our choice, my brother and sister, our choice. Such people who lead others astray, you know, they consider themselves to be very cool. They are very cool. And this is a funny language, English. In English, it's cool to be cool and it's hard to be cool as well. Say, man, that thing is hard. Means what? It's cool. Majib. Eh? So all these cool and hard people and so forth, they consider the others to be squares and drags, and they call them traditional Muslims. Eh? Traditional Muslims. And naturally, for the people whose reason to meet and part is self-indulgence, for people whose reason to meet and part is their personal pleasure, for their reason to meet and part is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them, those people for whom the displeasure and anger of Allah is supreme, for those people for whom the pleasure of Allah is supreme, for those people whose need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outweighs every other need, for them, naturally, these people, the cool people, will consider them to be drags. Interestingly, so they call them strangers. They'll say, what a strange man. What a strange guy. You know, he dresses like this. He talks like this. He only says Allah, Allah, Allah all the time. What is this? So boring. All the time Allah. Strangers. You know, strangely, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the same language. He called them strangers. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bada al Islam ghariban wa sayauduhu ghariban kama bada. And he said, Fatuba lil ghuraba. He said, Islam started as something strange. He said, Islam started as something strange. And he said, it will go back to being something strange. And he said, give the glad tidings of the Jannah to those who they will call strangers. He said, give the glad tidings of Tuba. Tuba is a tree in Jannah. He said, give the glad tidings of Jannah to the strangers. The question, my brothers and sisters, do we want to be strangers or do we want to be the sheep? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also on the day of judgment what will happen to those who consider themselves to be very cool today and who lead others astray. On the day of judgment, they will find themselves that those who refuse to listen to them and who refuse to be led by them are vindicated, and that they will have a light running before them and by their right hands. In that darkness of the horror of the day of judgment, these people will emanate light themselves, and they will have a light running in front of them and by their right hands when the world is in darkness. And these people who were trying to lead them astray in this dunya will call out to them and remind them, and they will say, were we not with you? Give us some of your light. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that will not help them on that day, because the time for that light is over. So they will be told, yes, you were with us, but you led yourselves into temptation and you looked forward to our destruction. What do the people do today when they want to lead you astray, and if you stand out and you speak against that action, you are not against anybody. You are not against the person, you are against the action. You are saying this action is haram. You are not saying you are haram. You are saying the action is haram. But how do they interpret it? They say, he is against me. Who the hell? What have we got against anybody? So what is Allah saying? What will happen to them on the day of judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar khalidina fih dhalika huwa al-fawzul azim. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور. In Surah Al-Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and He says, on the day you will see the believing men and believing women, their light running forward before them, and by their right hands, may Allah include us in that. Glad tidings for you this day, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. Truly this is the greatest of success. On the day when the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the believers, wait for us, let us get something from your light. It will be said to them, go back to your rear and seek a light. So a wall will be put up between them and a gate therein, and behind, inside it will be rahmah, and outside it will be adab. The hypocrites will call to the believers and they will say, were we not with you? The believers will say, yes, but you led yourselves into temptation and you looked forward for our destruction. You doubted in faith and you were deceived by false desires till the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to pass. And the chief deceiver deceived you in respect for Allah. Now let us look at another kind of friend, my brothers and sisters. You know what these kinds of friends are? You know what Allah said about those friends? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those friends, أَلَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah said, on the day of judgment, friends will become enemies, except the muttaqeen. He said, friends will become enemies except the muttaqeen, except the people who used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know why? Because one of the qualities of the good friend of the muttaqoon is that they will not leave you around even on the day of judgment. And you know why? Because Allah will protect them from the horrors of the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith narrated by in Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are seven whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in His shade on the day when there is no shade except His shade. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma adhillani tahta arshuk yawma la dhilla illa dhilluk. We ask the same dua for all of us. Oh Allah, shade us under your arsh on the day when there will be no shade except your shade. And Rasulullah said, who will be under this arsh? There will be seven kinds of people. Number one, a just ruler. A ruler who rules with justice. And remember, the tafsir of the hadith, this does not only refer to the kings and the presidents, it refers to anyone who is in authority over anyone else, even if it is one person. A just ruler. A youth who grew up in the worship of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the fadila of seeing many such in this world today, alhamdulillah, in many countries. Three, a person, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Sutun of the masjid. Anytime you want to see the person, where can you find him? In the masjid. Four, two people, two men or women who love each other for the sake of Allah. Two men who love each other for the sake of Allah, meeting for that and parting upon them. When I'm saying men and women, I mean men meeting the men, women meeting the women. We are not saying here, you go and meet some girl and say, I'm meeting you for the sake of Allah. No. That's for the sake of shaitan. Number 5, a man who is called by a woman of beauty and position for zina, but he says, I fear Allah. Whose example did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give for this in the Quran? Yusuf alayhi salam, so Yusuf. Number 6, a man who gives charity, a man or woman who gives charity and hides it, so that the left hand does not know what the right hand has given. Alhamdulillah, it is permissible also to give charity and give it publicly in order to encourage other people. So it is not haram to do that. But afzal of this is to give charity in a way which is hidden, only Allah knows. And the last one, a person, a man, a woman who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private and his eyes shed tears with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tahajjud, crying for the love of Allah and the glory and majesty of Allah in tahajjud. Rasulullah said, there are two eyes on which Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram. The two kinds of eyes on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fire of Jahannam haram. One is the eye that weeps for the glory of majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when nobody is seeing. And he says the other one is the eye that remains awake to guard the Muslims. In the Murabitun, the people who are guarding the Muslims. The person who remains awake for the safety of the Muslims. Rasulullah said, Allah made the fire of Jahannam haram on them. And Allah will guard them and give them the shade of the arsh. Rasulullah mentioned the criteria of a good friend and he said there are four qualities of a good friend. Number one, when you see him or her, he reminds you of Allah. Number two, when you sit with them, your iman increases. Number three, when they speak, your knowledge increases. And number four, when you see their actions, you remember akhirah. Four qualities of a good friend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to choose friends who fit the standards and also to become friends like that for those who wish to choose us. The purpose of all of these khutbas is not to give you tools to point fingers at people. The idea is to look at ourselves and say, here are the four qualities of a good friend. Now, am I a good friend to my friends? Or am I one of them who is leading them to the Jahannam along with myself? And that is the importance of being a good friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about these friends, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the qualities of these good friends. What are the qualities? Allah said the mu'mineen and the mu'minat, the believers, men and women, are awliya. They are the close friends and protectors of one another. What do they do? Amar bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. They enjoin good and they forbid evil. And what do? They establish salah. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. And they give zakat and they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what will happen to them? Allah says, Allah will have His mercy on them. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah does not lie. Allah will have mercy on people who do these things. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and all wise. Last point. Why must we pick friends? For a very good reason. When you are in the company of the fasiqun, when you are in the company of the rebellious people, when you are in the company of disbelievers, when you are in the company of people who disobey Allah, disobedience of Allah becomes easy. Disobedience of Allah becomes easy. Because whatever they do is disobedience of Allah. If they are happy, they are happy in a way which breaks the hudud of Islam. If they are sad in a way which breaks the hudud of Islam. If they relax in a way which is against the laws of Islam. If they are working, they will choose ways and means of work which are against the laws of Islam. With them, disobedience of Allah becomes the norm. Disobedience of Allah becomes easy. When you are in their company, obedience to Allah will become very hard. They will object to your face. They will object to your hairdress. They will object to your headdress. They will object to your clothes. They will object to the fact that you have to leave a meeting for salah because it's time for salah. They will object to the fact that you will say, we cannot do this and we cannot take interest and we cannot do this in business and we cannot do that in business. They will have objections and objections and objections for everything which is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. to in their company, disobedience becomes easy and obedience becomes hard. The road to Jahannam will become easy and the road to Jannah will become hard. The doors of Jahannam will open and the doors of Jannah will close. And when you are in the company of people of the opposite kind, what will happen? Remembrance of Allah will be very easy. Even if you forget, He will remind you. They will only talk about Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Akhirah and the good of the dunya. And they will say, how can we help the world and how can we do this and how can we help the Muslim Ummah and how can we help everybody else? Constant talk will be of good. Constant talk will be a reminder to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the time for salah comes, you will not need any reminder. They will all stand to pray. Even if you don't feel like praying, you will pray because you are with them. That is the power of the company. In their company, if you are not following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be the odd person out, you will feel odd. If you are disobeying Allah in any way, you will feel odd. And if you are in their company long enough, you will start becoming obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the power of the company. But with the people who are disobedient to Allah, the opposite will happen. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what happens to the people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who follow their desires exclusively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Which means, he said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seen the person who takes as his God? He is worshipping that. What is it? His vain desires, his own desires. He is worshipping his own desires, he is committing shirk. How is it shirk? Because he is leaving what Allah has commanded and he is doing what his desire commands. So it is shirk of a particular kind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it shirk. He said, have you seen the one who has taken as his ilah, as his object of worship, his own desires? Would you then be a wakil for them? So what is the meaning of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, leave them. Don't make dua for them. Do not intercede for them. You are not their wakil. Eh? Will you be a wakil? Allah saying no. It is not worthy of the Nabi. The Nabi does not do wakalat for the one who is a fasiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, leave them. And Allah says, do you think that most of them hear and understand? Allah says, no, they are cattle. Allah says, they are cattle. Kal anam. They are cattle. They are sheep and cows and buffaloes. They are cattle. And then Allah says, no, they are even worse than cattle. أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are even worse than cattle and they are astray from the path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what will happen to such people? People whose idea of life is to go from sensation to sensation, trying to search for the ultimate high. In today's paper, there is a photograph of a guy who is a big businessman. And he is going to a party and somebody has taken a photograph of his. He is sitting in a singlet and obviously pumps a lot of iron. He's got some nice looking muscles. Big arms, and he has on him, he's put on female makeup. So he's got lipstick and he's got all kinds of rouge and he's got all sorts of stuff on his body. And he's sitting in the car and they've taken a photograph of this guy. Big, you must have seen the picture, yeah? Yeah. And they've seen the big, big muscles and so on with women makeup on his body. And people are, the person who wrote the thing says this might look cute, but you know, it will, the investors will be very unhappy. They think this guy is crazy. We are investing in his company and he's doing things like this. But my question is, if the only purpose in life is self-personal satisfaction, what is the solution? You have to do nonsense like this. I mean, what else will you do? Because each time you do something, that's enough. Now I do the same thing, I get bored. So what do? I have to do something worse, something more. More and more perversity. Subhanallah, understand one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this world to indulge in pleasure. There is no way we can indulge in enough pleasure. No way we can indulge in enough pleasure. Another one in the paper today is a big Bentley. And he's talking about this guy who gives the best millionaire New Year party, best billionaire New Year party in the world. And what did he do? He called some group to come and perform. I said, subhanallah, ajeeb. Hamare Hyderabad ke log bhi karte hai, nahi karte hai. Difference is only the name of the group. Farmers ko bula ke wo bhi group perform karta. Ja ke dekhte. बैठ के सुनते, बिरयानी खाते, नहीं कहते मैं झूठ बोल रहा हूं तो बोल। He gets a group to perform. He's got so many private jets and he's got so many yachts. He's got 3 yachts. He owns the biggest privately owned boat. Point is, so what? As simple as that, so what? Because when he dies, he will go in the same 6-foot hole in the ground. Just because I have a palace, Supposing I own Chaumahela Palace, would they bring an excavator and dig a grave as big as Chaumahela to bury me? Where is the owner of Chaumahela buried? You know that, I know that. May Allah forgive their sins and may Allah grant them Jannah. We don't want to, subhanAllah, whatever they did, they are you know, Muslims. May Allah forgive them. But I'm just saying, I'm giving the example of Chaumahela, not because we want to malign anybody. I'm giving the example of Chaumahela to say that your house is not as big as Chaumahela. So wake up, boss. Where do you think you are going? Some other place? It's the same hole in the ground. So what is Allah saying about these people who indulge and indulge and indulge? Their whole life is to go from one sensation to another sensation. One sensation to another sensation. Start with grass, that's not enough, go to LSD, that's not enough, go to heroin, that's not enough, go to something else. Kick after kick after kick. Subhanallah, I mean, we don't even understand our own language. You know what is it called? What's a high call? A kick. Subhanallah, this is what, if you just understand, you know, your people who people like this are people who like to be kicked. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You want to be somebody who likes the, Subhanallah, I mean, I wish I was not standing here, then I would have really described that stuff for you, but I mean, I can't do that now. So what is Allah saying about these people who like kicking, who like to be kicked? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا وَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah says that people who are like this, who are going from sensation to sensation, who want to spend money only for the sake of their physical pleasure, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah says, then when they had forgotten all that they had been told, when they exceed every limit to take to heart, we threw open to them the gates of all good things. Please notice, Allah is not saying we will, you know, if they do this, we will punish them. No, Allah says, you want indulgence? Alright, we give you indulgence. We give you so much money, you got 10 private jets, buy 10 more. You got 50,000 cars, buy another 100,000 cars. Whatever. More. Abbaba kulli shay. Everything. Fame will be yours. Name will be yours. Somebody was asking me the other day. They said, Sheikh, nobody knows you. I said, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. They said, no, but look at Zakir Naik. You know, Zakir Naik, so many people know him. I said, Zakir Naik, many people know him. Alhamdulillah, he's a good friend of mine. But I said, Zakir Naik is nothing compared to Shri Shri Ravi Shankar. And Shri Shri Ravi Shankar is nothing compared to Satya Sai Baba. So what do you want to do? You want me to get an afro hairdo as well? Subhanallah. Ajeeb. Fame. For what? If fame is a criterion, what do you say about Nuh alayhi salam? After 950 years, the man had less than 100 people behind him, man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 13 years of effort, 13 years of dedicated 24 hour effort, how many people did he have? Less than 100. What is fame? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the people who are hunting for fame, and seeking money and pleasure, what will Allah do? He will open the door. You want fame? Alright. You are a global name. You want money? You got money. You want whatever you want? You got everything. Then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then when they are in the midst of that completely forgotten Allah, suddenly we catch them. Baghtatan. Suddenly we catch them. And then they are broken in spirit and then subhanallah, I did not even get time for tawbah. How will you get time for tawbah? You don't even remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what will happen to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned and said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhul kafirina awliya'a min dunil mu'minin. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. Allah said, do not take, oh you believe, do not take as awliya, as close friends and protectors and helpers, disbelievers instead of believers. People who are disobedient to Allah instead of people who are obedient to Allah. And Allah says, if you do that, Allah says, do you wish to offer proof against yourself? Subhanallah. Allah says, do you want to offer proof against yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكَفَرُوا بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقُودُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Allah said, and it has already been revealed to you and told to you in the book, this Quran, that when you hear the ayat of Allah being denied and mocked, when you hear this deen being made fun of, then don't sit with them until they change the subject, until they talk about something else. But if you stay with them, then you are with them. Allah says, then you will be counted among them. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will collect the hypocrites and disbelievers together in the Jahannam. Today what do we say? We give the examples of success. When we give examples of success, whose examples do we give? People who have no connection with Allah. Muslims who on the face of it, on the surface of it, whatever we can see of their lives and their talk, has no connection with Allah. Muslims who deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims who have completely gone out of Islam. We are not making fatwa here on anyone, understand this. We are following the sunnah of the Sahaba. Somebody came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and they said so and so, but you know his heart. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, Allah used to send him wahi about what was in the hearts of people. He said, the Nabi is no longer alive, we do not receive wahi. So we will go by what we can see. So if a person is praying, we will say he is a good Muslim. If you come and say, no, but you see he has got riya in his heart, he says, I'm sorry, I don't know about the heart. I do not make judgment on anybody's heart. I have no idea what is in his heart. Whatever is in his heart, I don't care. As far as I am concerned, he is worshipping, he is praying, so he is a good Muslim. If a person does not worship, you say, no, but his heart is good. We don't know this bus. We do not know this. We know that he does not pray. That's it. And so also other things. So we give examples. We give examples of people who are disobedient to Allah. We give examples of people who publicly say that I have nothing to do with Islam. And we give these examples as examples of people who are successful, as role models. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters, I want to share with you my rule in my life when I look at two things, friends and situations. Whenever I have to look at somebody and say, is this person somebody I want to be a friend with? I look for something. And whenever I look at a situation where somebody invites me and say, please come here, please come there, I look for something. You want to know what that is? Alright. For friends, I ask myself only one question. And the question is, do I want this person to lead my Salatul Janaza? That's all. Somebody who is my friend is someone who I would like to lead my Salatul Janaza. If it's somebody who I don't want to lead my Salatul Janaza, that person is not my friend. Simple. Is that person someone who I want to lead my Salatul Janaza? That is my criterion for a friend. And you know, for a situation, do I want to be in this situation? Do I want to be in that situation? You know what my criterion is? My criterion is, do I want to die in that place? Very simple. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, death can come at any time. Any time. When you are in a disco dancing on the floor, you can drop dead. So do I want to be in a disco dancing on the floor? No. Because I do not want to die in a disco on the dance floor. Do I want to die in a box in Malakpet? No. And so on, and so on, and so on. Do I want to die in this masjid giving this khutbah? Inshallah, if Allah wills. Do I want to die in a masjid? Yes, inshallah, if Allah wills. If I want to die, I make God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I make dua of all of you, inshallah. If Allah wills, may all of us get a death in a masjid, in one of the Haramain Sharifain, and may our janaza be led in the Haramain Sharifain, inshallah. May we die as shaheed fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make this dua for myself and make this dua for all of you, and whoever wants it, make say Ameen. And it's the will of Allah to give it to us, inshallah. We ask Allah to give us death in His path as shaheed fi sabilillah. So criterion for friend is, do I want him to lead my salatul janaza? Criterion for place to be is, do I want to die in that place? Please think about that. Before you go anywhere, ask yourself, do I want to die in that place? If the answer is no, stay away. Stay away, because you do not know whether death will come to you there or not. And if death comes to you at that point in time, there is no point in regretting, because nothing is going to change. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka allahumma wa natubu ilayk.